From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, a public information law that shields police records from the public's view. It's known as the dead suspect loophole.
The Public Information Act is well labeled. It is about public information.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies.
You know, when we first found out about this, I thought this was the most horrible, insidious, war crime kind of thing that could ever happen. I was hopping mad. And then I start finding out, you know, we're not the tip of a mountain. This stuff happens all the time.
Robert Dyer is making coffee in his home located in the Piney Woods outside of Paris, Texas, and he's telling me about his son, Graham, and what happened to him, how he died one night while in the custody of the Mesquite Police Department, and his efforts to find out the truth. It was at 3 a.m. on August 14, 2013, that Robert Dyer got that phone call. That phone call is the one that every parent fears.
Saying that Graham had been in trouble and he was in the hospital and we needed to get down there.
The call was from the Mesquite Police Department. They didn't say much else. They didn't explain that Graham had been arrested and that he had suffered severe head trauma, and they certainly didn't explain how all of this happened. In those pre-dawn hours, it took Robert and his wife Kathy about 2 hours to make the trip, driving to the Baylor University Medical Center, only knowing that something bad had happened to their son.
The lady from the ICU, she actually met us down at the entrance and, you know, told us Graham was in pretty grave condition and that he may not make it, and that if he did, you know, if he, you know. And then she said that he was still technically under arrest, that we couldn't go to see him. And he was up in the ICU, so she took us up there. And we got to the ICU floor and stepped out of the elevator and go down the corner and down the hall to the ICU. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of cops sitting there at the corner by the elevators, and then and another one down at the end of the hall before you go into the ICU. And, you know, he met me and said I couldn't go in there to see him. And then there was another cop in the actual ICU, like standing around all, where all the doctors were. You know, you knew they were back in there working on somebody. Yeah. And, just they said he was under arrest. Serious felony, you know, assault on a police officer. And I was like, what the hell? They made a little special room in the chaplain room or something like that available to us, because after a while people started coming in, you know, our pastor and all that. And one time they rolled him out to take a CAT scan. They rolled him back in and no, he was completely unresponsive. And then when they established that his brain waves were just not going to make it back, then they let us in the room to yeah, what the hell happened to my son? You know, it just, I mean, he,
what did happen to Graham Dyer? Getting answers from the Mesquite Police Department turned out to be impossible for the Dyer family because of something called the dead suspect loophole in Texas public information law. It's a Texas law that a police department doesn't have to release records for arrest that don't result in a conviction or deferred adjudication. Even if the person who was arrested is dead, that case is shielded from public scrutiny. The law was passed by the legislature in 1997 to protect the privacy of people who are arrested, but then the case doesn't get a conviction. But this is a case where the suspect is dead, and the suspect's parents want to see the documentation, reports, and evidence to find out exactly how and why their son died. that morning at the hospital, as the severity of Graham's condition became apparent and undeniable, Robert Dyer said he could immediately see that something wasn't right with how the police officers were acting and that they weren't going to give him the full and complete story.
You know, a gut feeling that night, because when we were in there and they wouldn't let us in there to see him, I mean, here's our son, obviously mortally wounded, and they wouldn't let us go just touch our son while there's any kind of activity, you know. You know, it's just like, what the hell? And the minute that they said that he was essentially dead, all the cops just backed up and left. So right then and there, I knew that there's something, you know, if they're going to be that heartless. There was one of the policemen there had a jacket that said CLEAT across the back.
CLEAT stands for the Combined Law Enforcement Association of Texas, a statewide police union. It advocates for law officers in Texas and lobbies the state legislature on issues of law enforcement. CLEAT provides legal services for police officers in Texas and is frequently called on to defend officers accused of excessive or unjustified deadly force.
This guy from CLEAT, and he'd talk to these guys and go talk to this guy and go talk to this guy. And you could tell. Well, I could see what gig's going on here, getting their story straight. As it turns out, those were the arresting officers. Yeah, I shook the hand of one of my kid's killers.
Earlier that night, Graham wasn't alone. He was out with his friends. He had a lot of friends. Graham was a super likable guy with a magnetic personality. People were just automatically drawn to him. He was a skateboarder, a guitar player, had a rebel streak in him, and about 500 people turned out for his funeral. He was mourned and continues to be missed.
He used to sit right here, and he's that bird bath. Oh, it was real hot summer and drought. We had a squirrel come down and just kind of hang out, and we called squirrel poolside. But Graham, I got home one day and Graham was hanging out this window with a piece of bread. I said, Dad, I think I can get poolside to come inside. You know, and he liked everybody he encountered and was polite, nice, and got along with all different types of people from every different walk of life. I mean, you just would not believe his kind heart.
It was through talking to Graham's friends that Robert Dyer was able to piece together some of the events that night, at least what happened that led to Graham having that encounter with the police. Graham and several of his friends dropped acid that night. They took LSD, a powerful illegal narcotic, and Graham had a bad reaction, a bad trip.
They were at a friend's house, and they'd walked over to Sonic. And on the way to Sonic or on the way back, he started getting all, you know, crazy and running around. You know, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here, you know. So, and they were like running, chasing him, trying to herd him back to their apartment. And that's when the junior high, I guess, is halfway between where they were going.
It was at Wilkerson Middle School, and the custodian staff, who was working late, heard the commotion of Graham yelling and banging on walls. They called 911. The police arrived almost immediately.
The cops showed up, you know, like a minute after this bang or whatever, and all the kids ran off, except for Graham, you know. And then his buddy ran off, but then he stopped. And said, oh, I can't leave Graham, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had both done identical doses of the same LSD. And he heard Graham screaming. And so he started, you know, running back, you know. And they got him and seated him to where he couldn't see what was going on. But he could hear a lot of stuff. And he knew there was an ambulance there. And he said he kind of thought they were trying to help Graham. And then they arrested him and took him into jail.
But Graham wasn't as easy to subdue. More officers showed up, and they didn't know what they were dealing with. despite the dead suspect loophole, eventually through creative legal maneuvering that we'll get into later, the videotapes of the encounter were eventually released, and this is what it sounded like.
Yes! Get your hands out of your pockets. Oh, get your hands out of your pockets. Get your hands. Get back. Get back. Get back. Get back. What do you want, man?
You know, he was agitated. You know, and I always wondered, you know, when they were zapping him with that taser, he was flopping around pretty hard. Instant protocol. If somebody has a head injury, by God, they go, you know, that's the first thing you do. Traumatic brain injury, you know. Or somebody's really amped up on drugs, go to the hospital. Arrest them, you know. Take care of them, take them down there when they sober up or whatever. Yeah, take their ass to jail. If they'd have done that, I'd have whooped his ass, you know. To do what they did, and knowing that he was, you know, threatening a kid that's tripping on acid, I'm going to kill you. And I think Graham knew he was going to die at that point in time.
Eventually, officers were able to get Graham into the back of a patrol car. Graham continued to struggle against the officers and was in the middle of that bad hallucinogenic experience. Eventually, it was discovered when the videotape was released that Graham was repeatedly tased in the area of his genitals while being handcuffed in the back of that squad car. Here is some of that audio. This is disturbing to listen to, and we have edited out the offensive language used by both Graham and the officers.
Got it?
I kill you.
Oh, shit.
You better chill out, you hear me? Chill the fuck out.
Oh! I'm just trying to give him
another.
From the videotape, it can be seen that an officer stood on Graham's head at one point and another punched him. Graham also bit one of the officers. That resulted in the charge of assault on a police officer. Once the police officers took Graham into custody, they requested Mesquite Fire Department paramedics to examine him. And although Graham had suffered a serious head wound, the paramedics cleared him to be transported to jail without treatment. According to the police officers, Graham beat his head against the interior of the police car during transport, causing severe injury. He may have slammed his head about 50 times. But rather than take him to a hospital, they took him to jail, where he was placed in a chair restraint that completely restricted his movements. Early the next morning, paramedics again examined Graham, who at that point was unresponsive. He was taken to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead from cranial cerebral trauma. But the Graham family didn't know these details. They requested the information, but they ran into the dead suspect loophole. The police agency didn't have to turn over these records because Graham was charged with assaulting a police officer. The department decided that these records were never going to see the light of day.
You know, they said, we just don't have to turn that stuff over to you. It's exempt. And that was pretty much the end of it. And you know that supposedly the Texas Rangers investigate ever in custody death. Okay. Never heard anything back from that. So we thought, well, let's call the FBI. And I felt like, well, apparently my state has failed me.
The Dyers did call the FBI and asked them to investigate. Robert said his wife Kathy was persistent in calling the federal agents back, and someone there told her if she would file a complaint with the FBI, then they were required to investigate. So that's what they did.
The FBI investigated. You know, by this time, this horrible thought just starts creeping into your mind. You know, they're clamping down on all this stuff that happened to Graham. God, what the hell happened to him? What really, 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 really happened? So the FBI investigates. Then we never hear anything. And about a year later, we get something from the FBI saying that there was nothing that they could prosecute in this. And then it, like, suggested, yeah, if you wish to pursue this further, get a lawyer or something,
something in the wording of that document that said, no, there's nothing the FBI can do, but not the end of the road or something. You know, there could be, a instead of a criminal, a civil rights in a federal court. So that's what we did. Found a lawyer in Fort Worth. You know, she started, and of course she wasn't getting anything from anybody anywhere. In the meantime, I don't know what it was, but just something hit my head that said, there's a Freedom of Information Act.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're looking at a law in Texas that's been nicknamed the Dead Suspect Loophole, that allows law enforcement agencies in the state to withhold information from the families of suspects who die in custody. That's what happened to 18-year-old Graham Dyer. His parents, Robert and Kathy, wanted answers about how their son died while in custody of the Mesquite Police Department. Eventually, after being stonewalled using the dead suspect loophole by the Mesquite PD, they turned to the FBI. The FBI investigated. They found no criminal behavior from the arresting officers, but the Dyer family was then able to sue under federal civil rights law and, using the Freedom of Information Act, get the evidence that the FBI had collected, but that the Mesquite Police Department refused to release. So then, one day, the Dyer family received a large packet with the information that they had requested.
This Freedom of Information thing had kind of worked its way through whatever channels that it did. It was a big envelope with computer disks and stuff like that. We didn't look at it. And that had been her advice to us. You know, hey, if you get something, I advise you not to watch it. And I'm kind of glad. I see 10 seconds of 2 hours of just what looks like a war crime. Just that she got the depositions from the officers, and then one of them said something about the car was shaking. If somebody is that agitated, and he wasn't seatbelted or anything, God, he was afraid of, I don't know. Gosh, no wonder they didn't want me to see it. And that's all I've seen. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more. A whole lot more.
It was only through the release of those documents and videos that the Dyers found out that the officers repeatedly used a taser on their son in the testicles area, punched him, failed to restrain, seatbelt, and protect the teen as he slammed his head repeatedly against the windows of the squad car, and then left him in a restrained chair in a jail cell for more than 2 hours before calling an ambulance.
I find out they dumped his nearly lifeless body out of a car, laying on the concrete in the sally port before they actually took him through into the cell.
It was at this point, 4 years after Graham's death, with the release of this evidence into the public eye and with extensive investigative coverage led by the Austin American Statesman, that the Dallas County District Attorney's Office said it would launch a full investigation. And then later, prosecutors said Mesquite police officers should be charged with criminal negligent homicide in Graham Dyer's death, but because of the statute of limitations, it was too late to bring those charges.
You know, there for a little brief shining moment, you know, we thought, well, there's maybe a chance that they could look at this and go, look, you know, we've given a little bit too much to law enforcement, you know. We need to, and especially like deaths while in custody. If there is ever a time when there ought to be a full release of all records is if somebody dies in custody.
All right, the chair lays out House Bill 3234 and recognizes Chairman Moody to explain his bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is about closing a loophole and opening up some crucial information to public scrutiny.
In April 2017, during the last legislative session, State Representative Joe Moody, a Democrat from El Paso, filed a bill that would close the dead suspect loophole. Moody went before the House Governance, Transparency, and Operations Committee, where it needed to pass before it could reach the full House.
Think of the shocking murder of 5 Dallas police officers last year. The shooter was killed before he could be brought to justice. meaning the records related to what happened that night are now permanently exempt from disclosure. What we're dealing with here are closed cases that fall into an exception that they shouldn't have.
This was just one of a battery of bills that were trying to fix different aspects of a broken Texas Public Information Act. At one time, Texas had bragging rights to having one of the best public information laws in the nation, a result of the 1971 historic Sharpstown bribery and corruption scandal that reached the highest levels of state government.
The bottom line is that government records are public information by default, and supporting transparency and accountability means that we only limit the release of information if there's a compelling reason to do it. There simply isn't one for anything covered by this bill.
In recent years, a number of successful challenges to the Texas Public Information Act at the state Supreme Court have created exemptions and loopholes that have withered the once robust window into how the state government operates and how taxpayer dollars are spent. For example, in 2015, when the city of McAllen hired Enrique Iglesias to hold a concert.
On Saturday, December the 5th, starting at 5 p.m., we will have the world-renowned Enrique Iglesias on that stage. So we want to make sure that all of the public of the city of McAllen and the Rio Grande Valley is aware of that.
The city refused to release to the public how much they paid the singer. McAllen used the Boeing exemption to claim that releasing the information would put the government or businesses at a competitive disadvantage. It didn't matter that these were taxpayer dollars used to pay for a public event. This particular exemption has been used successfully to block public information requests over 1,800 times, including power plant deals, school cafeteria contracts, and it's being used to argue that the salaries of some public employees should not be made public.
I'll sing down there for $50,000. So let's make this competitive. In fact, you might get me down to $25,000.
It's January 3rd, 2017. State Senator Kirk Watson, an Austin Democrat, is at a press conference at the start of the last legislative session. He's proposing fixes to the Texas Public Information Act.
The Public Information Act is well labeled. It is about public information.
Watson said he expected the lawmakers would want to fix this crucial law. It ought to be something that conservatives and progressives can agree on.
The public has a right to know what it is they're paying.
And going into the last legislative session, Watson said he expected these fixes would pass.
I feel pretty comfortable with where we are on that.
But hopes and dreams of passing legislation in Texas frequently die in committee hearings, and that's what happened.
Welcome, members. It's good to see you all. We have a couple of new members on the committee this year for those in the audience.
The public information fixes ran into a buzzsaw at the House Governance, Transparency, and Operations Committee, which was chaired by State Representative Gary Elkins, a Republican from Houston.
We are all in agreement as a committee that our overall mission is to increase the efficiency and operations and transparency of state government.
Elkins gave the bill's hearings late in the session, including the bill that would have fixed the dead suspect loophole.
All right, the chair calls Kathy Dyer.
Even after Robert and Kathy Dyer traveled to Austin and told the lawmakers what happened to Graham.
Yes, my name is Kathy Dyer. I represent myself. I represent my deceased son, Graham Dyer. This face you see on the front page, that's our son, Graham Dyer. He died in police custody in August of 2013, 18 years old. The city of Mesquite did not have to release records because there was no case pending. It's not pleasant. It's not fun to be here. If you'll watch the police video when you see my son being tased repeatedly in the testicles while he was handcuffed in the back seat of a cruiser. And when you see him laying limp, nearly lifeless on the floor of the police station, that's why I'm here in support of House Bill 3234.
Thank you for coming, and I'm speechless. You know, I mean, your story is very, very sad to hear. And I know it took a lot of effort for you and your family to come here today. And I know this bill is very important to you. So thank you very much for coming and sharing your story.
You have no idea.
Robert Dyer.
You know, if the victim is deceased, then they don't have to release records. They made sure my son was dead. They didn't call us till 3 o'clock in the morning. He was arrested at 11. And when we got to the hospital, they wouldn't even let us in the room to see him. He was still under arrest for a felony arrest for assaulting a police officer. Apparently he bit one. Hope he bit the hell out of him, if you don't mind me saying that. You know, if they got out of control and beat him up a little bit too hard, you know, that's one thing. But they tortured, and they murdered, and they covered it up. And they began covering up from the minute that we got to the hospital. The city of Mesquite covered it up. Guys, the state of Texas covered it up. And, you know, nothing's going to bring Graham back. But if I can do anything to prevent anything like this ever happening again, man, I'll be up here every day. And I'm thankful that you guys are here. I'm very thankful for our press, our freedom of the press, and that transparency is vital. We're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Thank you, Robert. And again, thank you for coming and spending all day here. I know you had other places you'd rather be.
No, this is exactly where I want to be right now.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
At this time, House Bill 3234 will be left pending at this time. Thank you.
The bill to close the dead suspect loophole was passed out of committee, but it was too late in the session for it to get a vote from the full legislature, so it died in legislative limbo, as did other bills that would have repaired the Texas Public Information Act. Senator Watson passed the Boeing Exception Reform Bill in the Senate, but it was never given a hearing in the House.
In accordance with the laws and Constitution of the state of Texas, call the House of Representatives of the 86th Legislature of the state of Texas to order.
It's 2019. There's a new legislative session, and again, there's hope that the Texas Public Information Act can be fixed. Representative Moody has refiled the bill that would close the dead suspect loophole.
That's going to be our job this session, is to try and push this into a hearing much earlier than we were able to last session, and so that we can start to ferret out all, you know, any and all issues that may be out there that we can resolve and move forward.
Also, this legislative session, Gary Elkins will not be there. He lost his seat to a Democrat in the blue wave of November. In the process of reporting the story, I reached out to Elkins to get his comments and received no response. Also, the Mesquite Police Department declined to comment. Robert Dyer told me he plans to return to Austin for this legislative session to again tell the story of Graham and again try to close the dead suspect loophole. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org, and you can write on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can listen to past Texas Matters programs, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.